This morning, let's look at 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. As a Christian, I have a constant problem with the fact that I don't understand the ways of God in my life. Situations are constantly arising that I do not know what God is seeking to accomplish. I do not know the purposes of God for the trials or for the testing. And man naturally rebels against the unknown. There is something about our human nature, not human nature in an evil sense, but just human nature as God created us, where we have a desire to understand and to know those things that have not yet been revealed. As a parent, there are three words that you're very familiar with from your children. Why? What? And how? Why is the sky blue, Daddy? Why do birds build nests? What are nests, Daddy? Where are we going? Are we almost there? The inquiring mind, searching for knowledge and for understanding, wanting to know the whys and the wherefores. And so there are two realms. Those secret things that belong to God, and those things that he has chosen to reveal to us. The word reveal in Hebrew is literally denuded. The wraps are taken off, I can see. Whereas the word secret is clothed. So the secret things belong to God. The revealed things are given to us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of the law. There is a vast field of knowledge that is still untapped by man. We are living in an age of information, and man is garnering information at a greater rate than at any time in history. It is estimated that the entire realm of knowledge acquired by man up until the year 1970, the whole vast realm of knowledge acquired from the beginning of time till 1970 was doubled in the decade between 1970 and 80. Probing, finding, discovering the secret things of God. Knowledge and understanding that God has always had, man is now finding out so many things that up to this point have been secret. But God is choosing now to reveal. As the Bible said, in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. God has chosen in the last days to reveal more of the secrets of that universe in which we find ourselves existing. And yet, in spite of our vast development and the scientific age, there is more to be learned than we have already come to know. We haven't yet tapped all of the mysteries and all of the secrets of the universe. In fact, we're just really beginning to understand some of those vast fields of knowledge that are waiting to be explored. As Shakespeare said, man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best. What do you know best? What is your field of expertise? In what subject are you the most well-versed? Let me ask you. In all that can be known and is to be known in that subject of which you are most well-versed, how much do you suppose that you know of the total knowledge available in that area? You say, well, I know my wife better than anything else. Well, how much is there of your wife that you don't yet know? You don't understand still. The vast mysteries that are yet to be unlocked. Man, poor man, so ignorant in that which he knows best. And no matter what field of science, the more we discover, the more we realize that there are areas that we haven't yet discovered. Every new area seems to open up vast new fields so that we, you know, have to specialize, and then we specialize in a specialization. We have to limit the areas of research if we're going to go very far into that particular field, because we realize that the dimensions are just too great for us to really fathom or comprehend. Now, these areas that we are discovering and learning are things that God has always known. We're just now coming up to them. We're just now finding them out. We're just now discovering them. But they are things that God has always known. We are just in the process of discovering the things that are there as God chooses to reveal them to us. Someone said, well, man created electricity. No, he didn't. Electricity was always there. The laws were always there. Man observed this interesting phenomena of power in nature. He was curious as to that power, the nature of that power, the source of that power, and his mind began to probe and he began to search. He began to experiment, and as he did, he began to discover the laws of electricity. And as he discovered these laws of electricity, then he learned how to put them into operation, how to generate the electricity, and then how to put the electricity to practical use as a tool for man. Is there more electricity in Southern California or in the heart of Africa? You say, well, in Southern California, of course, you're wrong. There's just as much electricity in the heart of Africa as there is here. It's just not developed yet. But the capacity, the laws are there. If you put the laws into operation, you'll find just as much electricity over there as there is here. It's just waiting to be developed. The secret things belong to God. But he chooses to reveal them to the inquiring mind of man. The secret things are actually in the realm of faith. Things that I don't yet understand, but I do believe. All of science operates on this realm of faith because you have in your mind a theory. In your mind, you can see that if you do this and this and this, you can get this result. It exists first as a thought, as a concept, as an idea or a theory. And once it is developed in your mind as a theory, then you begin to try to develop a model so that you can test the theory, to see if the theory is right or not. And as you're working on your model, someone comes along and says, well, what are you doing? And you're saying, well, I'm making this little gadget here, and when I'm through with it, all you'll have to do is press these two buttons and the thing will vacuum your living room floor. And you say, oh, I can't believe that. But you've got the thing all worked out in your mind. You've got it figured out how it could work and how it could operate. And you continue to work in spite of the scoffing and the joking and all that you receive. You continue to work until finally, after many modifications and all, you sit there and you push those two buttons and you see this little machine going and vacuuming your whole floor, turning at the corners and getting under the couch and the whole thing. Wow, all right. It's now a tool, can be used. But you see, it first of all existed as a thought, as a theory. Now you've been able to prove it. You've been able to test it. You can now demonstrate it to others. The Greek philosophers declared that everything pre-exist as a theory or as a thought. That there is nothing of the material universe that did not first of all exist in a thought. They called this causative thought the logos. And so before anything was, there was the logos, the thought. And we realize that before this building existed, it first existed as a thought. The architect put his thoughts on paper. He drew the plans and the details. And then the skilled laborers came along and they took his thoughts and they made them reality as they put the blocks one on top of the other, as they put up the frame and the materials and all. They brought the thought into reality, and so we sit here to worship in this building. My watch existed first as a thought. Someone thought about putting the silicate together and developing the crystals and, developing this little watch, and it existed first as a thought. And now I wear it on my wrist and I can tell time by it, and I also can tell that it's now 5:56 in Australia on Monday morning, so I'm keeping up with the kids over there. And so it existed, though, first as a thought. Nice little watch. But it pre-existed as a thought. It was designed, and then it was put together, and the thing actually works. And so the Greek philosophers, they had this logos, the thought that is behind the reality. Everything that you see of the material first existed as a thought. So John, as he was writing his gospel, seeking to attract the attention of those who had bought into the Greek philosophy, said, in the beginning was the logos, the thought. But then he went one step further, one that the Greek philosophers did not take, should have taken if they were truly logical. John said, behind every thought, there must be a thinker. You cannot have a thought without a thinker. So in the beginning was the Logos, but the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, the thinker, the thought behind it. And so the universe pre-existed as a thought. God brought it into reality. But the secret things belong to the Lord. When God reveals them, then they belong to us and our children forever. Now I understand. Now I see. Now I cannot work with it. I understand it because it is now a revealed thing. And thus it is there for my benefit. And so the secret things are in the realm of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe, I think, but I'm not sure. I put it together, I test it, and now it's mine, it works. Men of faith are thus always quantum leaps ahead of men without vision. Before the atomic age ever existed, over 1900 years ago, one of the writers in the Bible, the book of Hebrews, said, "By faith, we believe that the worlds were formed by the Word of God, so that the things which we see are actually made out of things which are invisible." Quite a statement. By a man of faith who accepted God's word that the worlds were created by the Word of God. Thus, the things which we are able to see, the visible things of the universe, were actually made out of things which you cannot see. Now comes the age of atomic science. And they probing into the atom, that invisible little particle, beginning to understand the atom, realizing that at the heart you have the proton with the little neutron clustered with it sometimes in the nucleus, but then the electrons revolving around it. And we talk about these things as though we had seen them now, even though we have not yet probe their mysteries as far as being able to actually observe. We have learned the laws of atomic structure. We are learning how to harness the atom. We are learning how to use the atom. Unfortunately, in destructive purposes as well as constructive. But you see, the mystery and the secret of the atom always belonged to God. He's known all about atomic structure, atomic particles. The men of faith, though they did not understand them, believed them. Because the Bible says the earths or the worlds were created by the Word of God, they, believing that, said, "Well, you know, what you see is made out of things that you can't see." They by faith accepted that, though they could not explain to you at all the mystery of the atom, the structure of the atom. But by faith, quantum leaps ahead. In our personal lives, there are secret things of God that are being worked out that are not yet revealed to us. And our hearts often rebel against the mystery. I seek for answers. I want to know why. And things are happening in my life, and I don't know why God would allow these things to happen. And my heart rebels against this mystery. God has not shown to me His purpose. He hasn't revealed to me His plan. And the trial that I'm experiencing is hard and difficult. And I feel myself pressured and pushed against the wall, and I am rebelling against the secrets of God. I want to know the reason. I want to find out why. God has a simple solution for my dilemma, but I don't like it. God says, just trust in me. Just rest in me. And I say, but Lord, I don't want to. I want to know why. Why have you allowed this? What are you doing, Lord? Or sometimes it's, why didn't you do that, Lord? Why didn't you answer my prayer? You see, I've been praying for months and God hasn't answered me. I believe He has. I believe the answer is no. You just don't want to hear it. I am so thankful for those times that God answered no. Things that I thought I needed. Things that I was sure would benefit me. And I prayed and sought God. And in his wisdom, he said, no. I didn't like that answer. I began to threaten God. He still said no. Like the little boy praying for his bicycle. I suppose you've heard the story. And kept praying, Lord, please give me a bicycle. It didn't come. So he said, Lord, I want a bike. And if you don't give me a bike, I'm not going to go to Sunday school anymore. He still didn't get it, so he got the statue of Mary and he said, Lord, if you want to see your mother again. We find ourselves in the position of sort of trying to pressure God to get God to buckle under to our demands. Because I don't like the secrets. I don't like him keeping things from me. And sometimes he says no, but he won't tell me why he said no. And I find myself pushing and uncomfortable because my heart wants to know. But the secret things belong to God. Habakkuk was complaining to God because of the condition of the nation. Things were really deteriorated and getting worse all the time. The general populace didn't know how bad things were. They were being fooled by the propaganda that the government was issuing. But Habakkuk knew the truth, and he knew that things were in total disarray and about to fall. And he cried unto the Lord, and he said, Lord, do me a favor. I don't want to know anything else. I mean, it's so horrible. It's so miserable. And Lord, you're not doing anything, so I just can't handle it. So please don't even let me know anything else. Don't let me see anything else. I just can't handle it, Lord. But things get so bad and getting worse, and you're not doing anything. God said, Habakkuk, I am doing something. God had a secret. The secret things belong to God. Habakkuk, I am doing something. But if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. So Habakkuk said, okay, God, I'll just go in the tower and I'll just sit there and I'll wait and see what you're doing. So he went up and began to sit in his tower waiting to see what God was going to do. And as he was waiting there, the Lord came to him and said, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. In other words, you better have faith, Habakkuk, because you haven't seen the worst of it yet. It's going to get worse than what it is. You're going to need faith. The just shall live by faith. And as God's plan began to unfold, Habakkuk began to say, but God, why would you do it that way? Lord, that isn't right. And God just said, the just shall live by faith. And as the plan continued to unfold, one day Habakkuk said, Lord, I cried to you because I was distressed at what was going on. You told me that you were working, and I don't understand yet what you're doing, but keep doing it. He had come to that place of faith where he trusted in God. Lord, you go ahead and continue your work. I don't know what you're doing, but continue doing it. I pray that God will help me to come to that place of faith, where in those times when I cannot see what God is doing, when the secrets of God have not yet been revealed, that I can just rejoice that God is in control. And I know that he is working things out for his glory. Those secret things belong to God. I'd like to probe them. I can't. Until they are revealed to me. But the revealed things then belong to us. God has taken the wraps off, the apocalypse, the unveiling. And God is constantly revealing his secrets to man. and how well I now understand some of those things which were once a mystery to me in days gone by. Those trials and those testings that I was going through, those areas where I was crying unto God for change and for deliverance and for help, and it seemed that God wasn't answering, or things weren't working as I thought they should. And I felt the pressure and I was distressed. But now as I look back, having now the advantage of seeing the full cycle, I see now what God was doing. I recognize now the wisdom of God. And I say, oh, Lord, that was so sharp. I never thought of that. What a wise way to go. And I thank God now for that goodness and for his working his plan that was once a mystery to me. In the midst of the situation, I was rebelling against it. But now I can see, oh, God's hand was working all the while, because now the revealed things belong to me. And I can now share them. They belong to my children forever. Sometimes when we have chocolate chip cookies around the house, and my wife goes on a binge and eats more than her share, she will say, take these cookies away and don't let me have another one. If I scream, if I yell, if I get mad, if I kick, just don't let me have another one. Don't pay any attention. Just don't let me have any more, you know. No matter what I do, don't let me have any more. And when I talk to God, I'm much the same way. Lord, if I scream, if I kick, if I yell, if I get mad at you, don't pay any attention. You do what's right. You do what is best. Just ignore me, Lord, and my complaints, because I'm just human. You do what's right. The secret things belong to God, and the man of faith will commit his ways to God even though he doesn't understand. And he will not try to alter that plan of God, but will yield and submit himself to it, saying, God, you know what is best. And that is the place of rest. It's the place of faith, but it's also the place of rest. Once God has revealed a thing, it now belongs to me and to my children that I might pass it on. This revelation of God. God has revealed through the years his faithfulness to me. I have found that God's ways are best. When it is all worked out, I look at it and say, well, Lord, your way was indeed best. Much better than the way I had figured it out. I have found that the Lord never fails. Actually, my mother discovered that secret, and she passed it on to me, her child. Jesus never fails. And how many times growing up, when I would come in and I would be complaining about some issue or some condition, she'd say, but honey, Jesus never fails. Just trust in Jesus. He never fails. I can remember my younger brother Paul had asthma when he was just a child. And I can remember at night hearing him wheeze and fighting for breath, fighting for air. And I could hear the squeaky rocking chair in the other room as my mother would be rocking him. And he would be there wheezing, but she would be singing softly, "Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus never fails." And as a child, I was taught the faithfulness of Jesus, that he never fails. And he didn't. My brother was healed completely of his asthma. By the time he was 5 years old, God had healed him so completely, he's never had another attack. Never a symptom. My mother so impressed that secret of God upon our hearts that over in Fairhaven Cemetery, if you see the headstone on her grave, we have inscribed, "Jesus never fails." The revealed things belong to us and our children, that we might share them, that they might benefit from those secret things of God that we've come to know through the experience of life. Teaching them the truth of God, his faithfulness, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his wisdom. And as we learn more and more about him, as he reveals himself to us, and we begin to understand the nature of God and the character of God, we find it then easier to submit ourselves into the hands of a loving God and to commit our ways unto him. The purpose of God revealing his secrets to us is that we might begin to understand the laws that he has established in this universe so that we can use them to our benefit. In the physical universe, we've come to discover so many of the laws of God, laws that God established that govern our physical universe, the laws of electricity, the laws of atomic structure and atomic particles, the laws of aerodynamics, the laws of gravity. And as we have discovered these secrets of God, we've learned how to use these laws for our benefit, to profit by it. There are also spiritual laws that God has established. And as we learn these spiritual laws of God, and as we begin to put them into operation in our lives, we find that God will bless us, and we can use these spiritual laws for our benefit, and that's what God intended, and thus he has revealed his secrets to us. The secret of his love for you, the secret of his grace, the secret of his faithfulness, the secret of his mercy, that you might, in knowing these secrets of God, come to a greater trust, which of course brings to you a greater peace and a greater joy and a greater confidence, a happier life, because you know that God is on the throne, you know that God is sovereign, you know that God is ruling over all, and you know that God loves you, and you know that all things are working together for good because you love God and are called according to his purpose. And thus, even while we are in the mystery of life itself, or in the mystery of a problem that we are facing, we look at it with confidence. We don't try to run. We don't cringe from it. We don't run from it. We face it because we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? And that God will see us through. And though at the present time it may look dark and it may look impossible, yet God is faithful and he will indeed keep his word to us. His word never fails. He never fails. We can trust in him. He'll see us through. The secret things belong to God, but thank God he has chosen to reveal so many of those things to us today who have sought to know and understand his love and his ways. The secret things that belong to God do not mean that God has no intention of revealing them to us. Much can be learned now. Much we will never know until through eternity. He reveals unto us what is the exceeding richness of his love and grace towards us in Christ. But you need to know enough that in the midst of the trial, you can ride triumphant. That you can be more than a conqueror because you have victory in the midst of the strife, in the midst of the tumult. You are reigning supreme. I am certain that this day there are many of you who are wrestling with some of the mysteries and the secrets of God. You're going through experiences that you haven't yet been able to figure out. You don't yet understand what God's purposes are, why God is allowing these things. But let me encourage you. God is faithful. God knows all about it. He knew all about it before you ever did. And he also has the answer. And these secrets of God will be revealed to you in time as you wait upon him and trust in him. And one day, looking back, you will actually be able to give God thanks for this particular trial, for the secrets of God that were revealed to your heart as the result of it. Shall we pray? Father, we're so grateful for the revelation of your love and of your law. And how, Lord, you have revealed to us those things that now are ours and they're our children's, that we might walk in your law, that we might keep your law, that we might use your law for our benefit, for the enrichment and the enhancement of our lives. Lord, teach us your ways. Show us your path. Reveal to us, Lord, your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, if you are in one of those dilemmas, things have happened this past week, maybe, and you can't understand, you're sort of at a loss to know. In your heart, you've sort of been crying out, rebelling against that which is not known, rebelling against the mysteries. And you feel this morning like you need some help. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room where the pastors are waiting to pray with you. And who knows, even maybe this day, God will reveal to you some of his secrets. If not the reasons and the way out of the dilemma, at least he will reveal the strength and the power by which you can overcome and be victorious in the trial. For the secret things belong to God, but he has revealed so much to us that we might walk in his law. And may God be with you today and this week, as you walk in the law of the Lord, as you surrender yourself unto his purposes and to his plans, and as God unfolds to you the mystery of his love and his purpose in your life, in Jesus' name.